Welcome back to more IT Camps. I'm John Weston with Microsoft, and this series of IT Camps is all about Windows Server 2012. And in this module, we're going to take a look at a new feature called Remote Access. And actually, it's really not that new of a feature. We introduced this feature in Server 2008 R2, but we've actually made some great enhancements to Direct Access. So in our session, we're going to take a look at what is Windows Server 2012 Direct Access, why should you care about it, and why is it important to deploy in your environment, and then we'll take a look at a technology overview of how Direct Access actually works in this session. So what is Direct Access? As this slide shows, it's a really great product. It does many more things than you actually realize what happens. I travel a lot from Microsoft, and as a typical, I have to use a virtual private network to dial in to our corporate network. And that's always a pain from different hotels and networks that I connect to, because a lot of times it doesn't work, and it's slow, and it's cumbersome. We all have been there with VPNs. Now with Direct Access, which started with Windows 7 from the client, and from Windows Server 2008 from the server, now whenever I'm on the internet, I'm just on to our Microsoft network. No VPN required. So as an end user, it's made my life much easier. I used to put off tasks that I absolutely had to have the corporate network for and not get on the corporate network very often. As an end user, I really wasn't very happy with the old VPN solution. Now, I don't even think about it. As long as I'm connected to the internet, I have access to resources that I have permissions to on our corporate network. But to me, that's not the best feature of Direct Access. Look on the right-hand side here, talking about managing out. In the old days when a VPN, again, I would save stuff up for a month, like expense reports, to only have to do them when I was connected to the corporate network. When was I a manageable resource to the IT staff or my laptop? When could they manage it, like run GPOs, put patches out? Only when I was VPN'd. Now, with Direct Access, any time that my computer's on the internet, I'm connected to our corporate network for manageability. I'm an endpoint that's manageable almost any time because I'm always on the internet. Didn't make much change to me, but it's a great change to our IT staff that wants to manage my endpoint. They can push policies to it, they can put patches on my machine, they can inventory it and see what I'm running on the machine. Anytime, I'm basically now on the internet. So the fundamentals of how Direct Access works is it allows me as the end client, now I do have to be running either Windows 7 or Windows 8 from the endpoint, allowing me to have direct connection to resources on our network through the firewall. As you can see here, I no longer need VPN. If I still have the old legacy Windows XP, which we hope you're getting off of soon, you still do have to have a VPN to have access to your corporate resources. So why should you care? And what's new in the 2012 version of Direct Access? So in previous versions, in Server 2008 and 2008 R2, Direct Access and Remote RAS couldn't be on the same server. And implementing Direct Access was not easy at all. There's a lot of steps that you had to go through. Some of the difficult pieces that people have to have a connection from your Direct Access server to one of your domain controllers with the protocol of TCP/IP IPv6. And there's a lot of steps that set up. So there's a little bit of hurdles to getting it set up. Now with 2012, it's much easier to implement. So now we can have Direct Access and RRAS on the same server. We've redefined, designed and simplified the architecture for better connectivity and manageability. PKI is no longer required. Now it is still optional that you don't require to have to use PKI, but you can implement that into your validation process. We have built-in client authentication through Kerberos proxy service, as well as built-in NAT64 and DNS64 support. We also support with Direct Access load balancing, multiple domains and multiple sites. Now, multiple sites is a little bit harder to configure than just your standard single site configuration. Token-based authentication, automated support for forced tunneling, as well as PowerShell support. We also have some great built-in tools to help us monitor the health of our Direct Access server. So let's take a little bit deeper technical look at what Direct Access is all about. First off is security. This is a HTTPS-based Kerberos proxy server. The Direct Access makes a PKI deployment an optional to simplify the configuration and management. When people got tripped up on setting up the TCP/IP, the PKI infrastructure, you know, a lot of times they got frustrated in trying to set up a proof of concept or a test pilot when they were looking at Direct Access. They really want the features, but it was pretty hard to set up. So notice here we've got a list of the requirements. You have to have certain IPsec ports open. I think it's UDP 500 and 4500, as well as TCP port 443 must be open on the external firewalls for direct access to work. Direct access server must have a certificate for TLS issued by the appropriate servers, and the direct access server must be set up. The process will configure the KDC proxy certificate as well as the FQDN. So there's some steps that we have to go through. It's still not trivial to set up, but it's a whole lot easier than it was in previous versions. So let's take a look here at a few of the screenshots to install Direct Access. So notice here in this first screenshot, I'm in the Add Roles and Features of Windows Server 2012, and it's just Remote Access is a server role that we're going to configure. So I check that box, and then I go in and configure Direct Access, Remote Access, and it walks me through the wizard. The wizard is pretty straightforward. Do I want Direct Access and VPN, or do I want to do routing as well? Confirm the installation process, and walk through the installation process. Now, there are some prerequisites that, if not previously installed, the installation process will install IIS. It'll also install the Windows Internet Database, internal database, as well as the Group Policy Management Console. Now, there's a couple of choices when you go through the installation process. Notice here we've got the Express choice. Now, the Express is recommended for simple deployment, single service, single site type of installations. This cuts out a lot of the initial steps, the PKI that we used to have in initial previous versions of Direct Access with Windows Server 2008. So here, notice I take the Express edition of installation path and tell it to deploy both Direct Access and VPN, the recommended default settings. I go out and tell it the edge technology that I'm going to use for remote access services, configure remote access, and then go to the direct access review and tell it to install. Now, it does need IPv6 still. It's going to do the translation from IPv6 to IPv4. So the hotel, for example, that I'm staying at last night doesn't have IPv6, but yet I can still use direct access. My connection is IPv4, but we do use some IPv6 in the back end to be able to support direct access. Now, we can get more complicated here. If we have a more sophisticated or more complex environment with multiple sites, we probably want to set the expert default options. Here, this gives us more control of the wizard of configuring how the server is going to work with Direct Access, and we can deploy PKI if we want that feature. An interesting option that you might want to do is a feature that's called Manage Out. Notice the two choices here. We can do full direct access, which is direct access, allowing clients to be able to connect to our internal network without a VPN, or I could just do a Manage Out. Now here, people would not have access to resources, but we could still manage them as an endpoint. If you're really concerned about all the devices that people might be bringing to your deployment or your environments, this might be an option for you. As I mentioned earlier, network load balance also works in conjunction with direct access. So let's say you have a large deployment like we hear at Microsoft, hundreds of thousands of clients that are out there connecting to the network. And you obviously want to be able to have more than a single point of connection for all those users. So we can use NLB to create multiple connection points that allows people to have direct access in a very, very large scale. Then, if we have multiple sites configurations, then it gets a little bit more complicated here. Now, I'm not going to go into all the individual steps here, but this allows us to use a combination of NLB and multiple site configuration and entry point names that allow me to have direct access from multiple different points to the same network. Depending upon the size of your network, you may not need to implement this feature, but if you have a very large multinational organization, you do have that flexibility to do this configuration. As you can see, there's additional 7 steps here. We also have the Direct Access Connectivity Assistant 2.0. This allows us to be able to provide direct access users with connectivity information to see the status of their direct access connectivity. It's referred to as the DCA2, provides a tool that helps users reconnect if a problem arises. So for example, if your health status becomes out of date, it allows them to go remediate these problems, get an update, get the right patch, so they can get a health certificate again and be able to connect back to the network. It supports one-time password authentication as well as direct access users require an authentication using the one-time password capabilities. This is a downloadable item, so here you can see the link on Microsoft.com so you can download the Direct Access 2.0 Assistant. Once we've got Direct Access installed and configured, there's lots of different tools at our disposal here to be able to monitor the health and the status of the way that all our servers are performing. As you can see, the remote access server status checks all the things down the right-hand side that are required and or optional features that allow us to be able to have access to direct access. So this gives you a chance to go and monitor and make sure everything's working great with direct access. Offline domain join is a feature that we've had for some time. It allows us to be able to create a machine account and join a computer when it's not currently connected to a domain controller. This feature has been updated in Server 2012 to be able to allow us to do direct access as part of the offline domain join. So this makes it very nice to be able to connect a machine. I've used it at several customers, for example, that use an offshore oil platform, send the PCs out there and have them join without having direct connectivity to the domain controllers at the point when the machine is initiated. So here this is an example of the dejoin command with the new direct access switches. In a few minutes, we'll take a look at a demonstration of direct access, but before we do that, I do want to remind you some of the resources that we've got available for you here. There's a blog entry that has some new direct access, what's new in Server 2012, as well as you can download Windows Server 2012 at aka.ms/hwws2012. It's a free 180-day evaluation of Server 2012. Also, we have the Microsoft Virtual Academy, which is free online training out there at aka.ms/virtualacademy. So stay tuned for the next video, which will give you a chance to take a look at how to set up direct access.